the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio. Radio
Today. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up this week, breaking news as we record the podcast. Bauer has just announced plans for the stations it bought from Wireless, Celador, Lynx FM Group and UKRD at the start of 2019. Greatest Hits Radio will go on most of them. A few become part of the Hits Network, but keep their brand names, and three will remain as standalone stations. We're going to delve into all the detail and hopefully hear from the man leading the changes at Bauer as well, Graham Bryce. And David Lloyd will be along as usual later with more audio memories from the archives in Radio Moments.
Original music for this podcast was composed by McCasside.
Well, let's get straight into the big news of the week. Roy Martin is here, and all that speculation over, what, 15 months now, Roy, since Bauer bought dozens of stations from the smaller radio groups. Finally, we have some answers.
Yes, Stu, it is an interesting day, probably the biggest day in radio for this year. We all know Bauer bought Lynx FM Group, Celador Radio, the local stations in England and Wales from Wireless, and UKRD last February, March time. And we've all been wondering ever since what they're going to do. They went into hold separate, of course. The CMA gave their final ruling in March this year, 12th of March. About a month later, the 15th of April, hold separate formally ended and Bauer took controls of the stations. And here we are, 6 weeks later, we've had news from Bauer. I'm a little bit surprised at what they've announced. I don't know what I was expecting exactly, but it's pretty, well, it's kind of simple in that most of the stations they bought are going to be the same thing. Stu, tell us all about it.
Yeah, so out of the 55-ish FM licenses that they ended up buying, 49 of those are going to turn into Greatest Hits Radio. They're going to take network programmes most of the time, just an opt-out show in each region at drive time on weekdays. Of course, Greatest Hits Radio already has an opt-out for Birmingham on FM, and it has a Liverpool FM station, but the rest of it is currently medium wave, as well as DAB. And four stations are not going to be Greatest Hits Radio. They're going to be Hits Radio, except they're keeping their names, so they're not going to be Hits Radio. It's going to be Pulse 1 in Bradford, Signal 1 in Stoke, The Wave in Swansea, and Fire Radio in Bournemouth. So they'll still all be called the same thing, but they'll run the Hits Radio playlist, they'll do their own breakfast show, and then take the Hits Network from 10 o'clock every day and all day every day on a Saturday and Sunday. But it doesn't end there. There are three stations that are not changing and not taking any network programmes.
So Bauer's already got a few of these, like Wave and Gem. Which ones get out of jail alive, so to speak?
It's going to be Lynx FM in Lincolnshire, Pirate FM in Cornwall, and Sam FM in Bristol. In Sam's case, this is because it only actually was re-awarded its licence by Ofcom less than 2 years ago, to December 2018. Celador, you might remember, took it to a full re-advertisement so they could change the format and tweak it a little bit. So they went up against Nation, I think it was, won the licence back, but as a result, it's not a rolling license. It's a fairly new license that only has existed for less than 2 years. It's a bit tricky for Bauer to change anything with the format of that. So Sam FM is one of them. The other two, Lynx and Pyra, and we'll find out soon, hopefully, why they've decided to keep those.
I mean, I thought that was a rule back in the 90s and noughties, that once you get an FM license from Ofcom, you can't really apply for a format change for a couple of years. But I thought that went out the window. But clearly, if that's what they're saying, then there must be some element of that that still exists.
Yeah, quite possibly. And the other thing to mention is there are other stations at the same time, and this is all going to happen in September, that are going to become Greatest Hits Radio as well. And these are stations that are not owned by Bauer, but are owned by Nation Broadcasting. And they bought them, I think, did they buy them from Bauer or did they buy them from the groups themselves? Anyway, whatever happened, this was back in February, March last year when Bauer was buying these. They thought, well, we can't have all of these in certain areas because we've already got other radio stations. With what's happened with the CMA, they could perhaps actually have kept them. But Sam FM on the South Coast, The Breeze on the South Coast and KCFM in Hull, these are going to have brand license agreements. Sam FM on the Solent and KCFM in Hull are both going to be Greatest Hits Radio, and The Breeze on the South Coast, So that's Portsmouth, Southampton, Winchester. They'll become Hits Radio, the first station since Key 103 to actually change their name to Hits Radio. Fleur East & Co on breakfast, and then Nation providing a local drive time show.
So the first radio station outside Manchester to rebrand as Hits Radio is going to be on the South Coast by Nation. It's, Bauer hasn't even taken the trouble to rebrand one of its own stations as Hits Radio. Does this mean they're more hesitant to do the rebranding of Hits on the Heritage Network, or it's just the first phase of it?
I don't know. We'll ask the man in charge in a couple of minutes. He's coming here in just a minute.
Okay.
A couple of other things announced just this morning by Bauer, Wednesday morning as we record this as well. They're going to shut all the digital-only stations they got when they bought the four groups.
All right, so this is all the decade stations, I'm guessing. What do they have these days? I think Signal 80s, Pulse 80s, Wave 80s. Those three were operated by wireless, and UKID had a few, like Pirate 80s, Eagle 80s, I think Pirate 70s maybe as well, but anything that exists like that, that's closing, including Suffolk First, which was quite a strange station for farmers, and that was owned by Lynx FM, and the musical stations, which has had a bit of a troubled existence, is Encore as well. That was run by UKID. We may have missed one or two there, but basically if it was digital and it overlaps with whatever Bauer already operates, then it's probably going to close.
And First Radio Sales, a sticking point perhaps in that big long drawn out process with the CMA, that's what made it drag on. Bauer announced at the start of May it had bought the half it didn't already own from Wireless, and now from next week, so that's the 1st of June, it says it's going to be selling national and regional advertising for all those FRS member stations.
Amazing. There's a lot to digest. All the details are on radiotoday.co.uk, but I think it's high time we heard from the horse's mouth, not calling him a horse. But should we bring on the guest for this week?
Yeah, Roy, stay with us. We'll talk more to you shortly. Let's now bring in Graham Bryce, Group Managing Director of the Hits Radio Network brand. Let's find out more about all these changes and the reasons behind them. Hi, Graham. Welcome to the podcast.
Morning, Stuart.
A busy day for you then. Thank you for sparing a few minutes to chat to us. You've been telling staff this morning about your plans, and I guess you'd much rather been able to do that face-to-face rather than on a video call.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we would much rather have been able to implement these changes face-to-face, as you'd expect. But the, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic has really given us no option. The economic shock to the industry and to our business is significant. And we really feel like we have to act now in order to secure the long-term future of these stations. Probably, as you know, we spent probably the last 12 months and a considerable amount of time looking at all of the options and combining these businesses and sort of coming to the conclusions that we have. And these are not easy decisions. They're tough decisions, and we haven't taken them lightly. You know, in coming to these conclusions, I suppose there's no way that this sort of diminishes the excellent performance of a great number of the stations and the people involved. And we greatly appreciate, you know, the commitment and the passion and the efforts of those people during Hold Separate, because it was a very tough time for those involved. But, you know, despite the difficulty of the process and despite having to do this remotely, we'll do whatever we can to make it as if it's alive, you know, in person as we can. And, you know, we want to commit to treating these people, you know, as fairly as possible and with as much, you know, humanity and respect. You know, wherever possible, you know, we're going to try and minimise job losses and throughout we'll provide support to those people affected by this consultation. The difficulty with all these decisions is that we know these decisions affect people's lives, and we want everyone to feel like they've been treated well, despite the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And of course, the same is true for how we're going to deal with freelance presenters and contractors as well.
And obviously, you mentioned Hold Separate. You've had a bit of time to think about what you might do with these stations, even though you physically haven't been able to get into them or talk to the teams there. What is overall your strategy behind the decisions you've announced today? Why are you choosing to rebrand most of them as Greatest Hits, for example?
Well, I think in order to understand the strategy, I think it's probably important to outline some of the key trends that we see in the industry that's really changing the radio market. And I think requiring us to think a little bit differently about the future. So, you know, as we see it, there's sort of three big trends that are happening in the marketplace at the moment. First of all, there's a real significant shift to digital listening. As you know, with all radio listening now at around 60% across the UK, and we at Bauer at 74%. And we only see this trend increasing as we go forward. We just see digital as being the future. So what this means is that every station that we have acquired and every station within our own portfolio needs a really clear path to a digital future. And if they don't have a path to digital future, I think really the future of those stations is really in peril. I think secondly, this rise in digital listening is really resulting in a fragmentation of audience. As competition increases on digital, as listeners, as we all know, increasingly spend more time with a huge range of news stations on offer, what happens is that listeners, you know, dial around and spend time with a lot of the new spin-offs that everyone's been launching across the UK. So unfortunately, what that means is that consumer habits are changing. They're spending more time with more stations. And what this is resulting in is a sort of clear downward trend in listening to local radio and probably a mirror image rise in listening to national digital services. And we only see this trend continuing. So what is happening here is that this is putting huge pressure on heritage local radio audiences to the point at which, if they're not uneconomic today, I think in the future, they will become economically unviable. And then the third big trend, I think, is that like many businesses around the world, we're all facing into margin pressure as competition increases, and our national advertisers and agency partners no longer really have the time to plan and buy complicated radio campaigns. And they're increasingly demanding of us much simpler, clearer, nationally scaled networks within what they would call a premium brand environment. So they don't have the time these days to spend too much time planning radio campaigns. There's a lot of options out there. And if we can't make it simple for them, they'll just simply go somewhere else. And then overlay all of that with the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think that's only accelerated these trends. And unfortunately, we don't see any return to the past anytime soon. So I think in coming to the decisions that we have, I think we've needed to envisage a new model for the future. And I think what we've tried to do is create something that retains the best of what local radio can offer, because we really believe in a lot of what the value of what local radio can offer, but within a scaled national network. And importantly, within all of this, is that all of the stations have a clear path to a digital future.
And obviously the plan is to collectively increase the reach of Greatest Hits Radio by putting nearly 50 more licenses into it. Clearly there are some stations who do very well on Rajar and have done historically. I'm thinking of the likes of Yorkshire Coast Radio on the East Coast and Spire FM in a fairly quiet market. If they lose audience, which is quite likely by some change after a period of 25 plus years as a heritage brand, are you saying you don't mind that because overall the reach will increase for your network?
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I think we see significant growth, opportunity for the network as a whole. In many cases, we're extending the distribution for some of these small-scale FM licenses onto DAB and in a format that we think has huge potential across the whole of the UK. So I think for some of the stations that perform exceptionally well at the moment, the likes of YCR and there are many others, our plan is to retain as much of that audience as at all possible. But we believe the upside opportunity for the audiences across the network outweighs any potential churn in these high-performing stations. So we think the aggregate growth opportunity is significant, and that's what we're focusing on.
And obviously a few are going to take the hits playlist and the style that your other heritage stations take at the moment, but the three stations that you've decided to keep as is for now, so Sam FM in Bristol, Pirate and Lynx. Bristol is a new license, format change isn't easily possible there, but in the cases of Pirate and Lynx, why are you not touching them and what will they sound like as a result?
Well, as you know, I think we don't try and do a sort of one-size-fits-all strategy as far as Bauer is concerned. And having looked at these markets closely, you know, we believe that Cornwall and Lincolnshire in particular have different characteristics and communities that we think are a bit distinct from the rest of England and as a result need a slightly different approach. So as a result, we've decided these stations, you know, should operate standalone, retain their local brand and retain local programming. Of course, as we get into them, you know, we'll assess whether these stations would benefit from any, you know, off-peak content sharing like we do with other stations. But this is, you know, technologically quite difficult to deliver within a single brand network. And so I think we have to work with the programmers locally and work out what's best, but we don't see any opportunity for content sharing in the short term.
And you talked about the importance of local radio and delivering that local content. Obviously, part of the Ofcom rules that allow you to share programmes mean that you have to provide what they call an enhanced local news and information service. In many cases, listeners to some of these local radio stations that have been run by groups that kind of put their heart and soul into the community of the small area they served have actually been getting a really good local news and information service. So is what you're offering going to be better than that?
Well, I think it will. It will enhance it anyway. I think, as you know, we are really committed to local news in the business and believe it's a hugely important part of our product mix and also something that we know that listeners value really highly. And we do think that our plans for local news within the acquired business will really enhance that local news output across the network. We've spent quite a lot of time thinking about this, and we'll be putting more reporters on the ground in every region in which we operate, something that isn't present in every area today. And with these local news teams being able to access the wider resources available throughout Bower means that we can support those local news teams when there's any major breaking news stories in their area, such that I think they'll be able to cover those stories better than ever. So I think overall, I think we can actually enhance the local news service and offer across this group, although there's some great services going on at the moment. But I think a lot of them are stretched. A lot of them are reading multiple bulletins, and at times they're so stretched, they're not through no fault of their own. They're having to put out IRN bulletins instead of local news bulletins. And I think the strength and size and resources of Bower will be able to support those local news teams in a way that they've not had before. And I think that's going to be really compelling for them.
And the kind of really kind of small nature of some of the TSAs has actually meant in the past that these stations have been a big part of life in the town or the county that they serve. So I'm thinking about kind of getting involved in community awards schemes and Christmas light switch-ons, roadshows, that kind of stuff. Presumably that's not your model, so you won't do that, or will you, because you'll have these licenses that cover much smaller markets than some of the big Bower stations that you've previously had?
Well, I think it's sort of too early, I think, to take a decision on the huge amount of local activity that goes on across a number of these stations, and we haven't got across all of that activity, so it's very hard to take a decision on it. And the honest truth is, I think there's no doubt it's going to be harder to deliver some of these events sort of like for like, as it were. So we may have to, you know, have a look at them and prioritise certain events over others, assess whether they fit within the new network and whether they actually work for local partners as well. But I think overall what we can say is that our goal would be to remain active in all of the communities, to retain a presence there, and more importantly probably than anything is to reflect on air the many important events that happen in each of these communities up and down the country, and make sure that listeners and partners have access to that information and to those events.
Far be it from me to be cynical, but a cynical might say it looks from the outside that you're happy to rebrand stations that you've bought that weren't yours in the first place, but you're not doing it with some of your existing stations. And I guess the reason for that is you've got heritage names, but some would argue that Spire and Eagle and Minster, Swansea Sound are just as important heritage brand names in their locality as Hallam or Clyde or Radio City are in theirs.
Yeah, I sort of understand that argument, but I think what we've always said is that we will only rebrand stations where we see an opportunity to increase audience. And obviously we've looked at our own stations, and on balance so far, we think that retaining our kind of heritage brands give us more audience than rebranding. Now, what I've already said earlier, of course, is that with the acquired stations, we do believe there's a significant audience upside to the network in aggregate by rebranding the stations. So we think that's the reason why we've decided to rebrand the acquired stations and not our own. But, you know, should we see an upside opportunity going forward within our own network for rebrand, we'll of course look at that. But as I'll say again, you know, within these acquired stations, we think the network opportunity for audience growth is significant, and that's the rationale for rebranding them.
And you talked earlier on about the digital listening that Bower has, which is obviously higher than many of the other the groups and the industry average. At the same time, these groups that you bought had some digital portfolio, and you've decided to shut all that down. What's the thinking there?
Well, of course, we've sort of carefully assessed all the businesses that we've acquired, and obviously we've had a close look at the digital stations that we bought along with everything else. and we've mapped them against our own digital offering. And unfortunately, at the end of that sort of assessment, it was pretty clear that the digital stations that we acquired pretty much duplicated stations that we already had in our portfolio, such as Absolute 80s or Magic at the Musicals. And so we took the sort of tough decision to close them, to concentrate our efforts on our own portfolio. As you'll be aware, that, you know, digital innovation is at the heart of what Bauer is all about. And we have, a pretty well-developed portfolio of digital stations. And we're always looking for new opportunities to innovate and to launch new services, as we have recently with, you know, the Absolute 40 stations around VE Day, or with Scala, or with Country Hits Radio. It was just unfortunate that the innovation that had happened in these groups really matched, from a format point of view, the same things that we'd already been doing. But if there's other opportunities out there, we'd love to have a look at it, and it's certainly something that we look at very actively.
Okay, and finally, I suppose, a vast number of staff, a vast number of new buildings that you've only kind of had your hands on for 6 weeks, plus you've got all the technical side of putting playout systems in and making a network happen by September, as I think you're hoping to do all this rebranding. I count that as probably the biggest single integration of stations into a network that we've ever seen in the UK. Are you confident you can do all that within just a few months?
Yeah, I think it's a major technical undertaking, as you say. But we have a very experienced and large team on this within Bauer, and I'm really confident in that team. We've obviously spent quite a bit of time planning this, and we believe that our team, combined, of course, with the broadcast and IT teams in the acquired business, which are working with us on this project, I've got every confidence that we'll be delivering it on time and in a really robust and efficient way.
And obviously those staff and freelancers who are affected are being communicated with today through the day. What's kind of your message for those people in terms of their fears and worries about what might happen going forward?
Well, I think it's obviously a very tough period for the people affected by this. Clearly our decisions have resulted in a number of roles within the acquired business being impacted. And as I said at the start, I think, you know, our job is to treat those people fairly with as much humanity and respect as we possibly can, to minimise the job losses throughout this process, and to provide the right support through it. And it's going to be a tough time for everyone involved. But we believe the decisions are the right decisions for the business and for continuity of the business long term. So all I really want to say in finality is I want to thank the staff in those acquired businesses. They've been running, in some cases, best-in-class local radio services across the UK, and they've done a simply brilliant job in maintaining market leadership in a lot of markets over the years. You know, some of them have been successful market leaders for 20 years, and the conclusions that we've come to, as I said earlier, in no way disrespects or diminishes that excellent performance. I think, you know, they've delivered an excellent business model over the last 20 years. We just feel as though the market's changing around us, and if we don't change and adapt and innovate and move forward, there's a fear that these stations wouldn't last the next 20 years. So we have to make some tough decisions in order to make sure that the combination of these businesses are ready to compete effectively as possibly can be within the digital future that we see. And at the heart of all of this is the looming rise in digital listening and our ability to create a network that has growth opportunity for both audiences, for revenues, and suits the needs of the changing listening habits of our listeners, and also the changing, you know, requirements of our advertisers. So that's at the heart of why we've announced these plans today.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
That was Graham Bryce talking to us here on the Radio Today programme. Roy Martin is still here as well. So what do you make of these plans then, Roy? good idea? Is this what we were expecting all along, really? Something like this was going to happen?
Well, we were expecting something. I said at the beginning that I was a bit surprised. I don't know what I was I think I was expecting more of a 50-50 split between stations becoming hits radio and stations becoming greatest hits. But what we've got is Bauer saying, right, it's time for greatest hits to go on pretty much everything. We're not going to change anything to hits radio. We'll let Nation do that and see what happens in Southampton. So, yeah, it's tricky. And your question there about why they've rebranded all of the stations they've just bought instead of their own, that was quite a political answer, I think, he gave to exactly why. I still don't quite understand it, why one rule doesn't apply to all of them. But, yeah, an interesting move. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. It's obviously a big day for people working in radio and people working in those groups, because there's a lot of uncertainty now. And we'll have to see what happens. A lot of people at risk.
Yeah, I mean, we've put some numbers, vague numbers, on radiotoday.co.uk about the number of on-air shifts. And we must stress, kind of, the way we've worked this out is on a fairly basic level, looking at the presenters listed on websites for all the stations in these groups currently operating as standalone stations, totted that up and then worked out how many presenters they'll need to run the network operation on these stations. And it's a big drop, about 160, we reckon, presenter roles lost. There'll also be production roles, off-air roles in terms of management and programming and admin and receptionists and all sorts of things, and obviously engineering. Many of these roles in various parts of the country, Bauer will need people, because obviously they don't have existing operations in some parts of the country where they bought stations. So I'm sure there will be a significant number of new opportunities for people to stay on and take up. But as you say, another big shift, and it's, you know, 12 months on from when it happened the last time with all the staff at Global as well.
Yeah, and we saw in the weeks and months after Global did their reshuffle, shall we say, a lot of presenters and producers and staff went on to work for the rival stations. They went on to do podcasts, they went on to do other things. So we hope the majority of them continue to do what we all love, and that's radio. And hopefully this will happen with the people who are affected today at Bauer. It's just strange how, I mean, this happened 12 months ago and it still blew my mind, but there's going to be entire radio buildings that are operating today full of staff that are just being closed down. And that's such a big thing in radio, when an entire radio station just basically becomes a relay. It's very sad. Obviously, it's progress and it's business, and it has to happen because, you know, radio has to survive. So we want to do whatever we can to help, as we did when Global did this. We had a page at radiotoday.co.uk/available. So if you find out, it won't be today, but if you find out in the coming weeks and months that you are suddenly available and you don't know what to do, obviously you'll get your demos together, you'll get your CV sorted out. But if we can help, if we can list you on our website as somebody who is looking for work because of this, then just drop us an email and we'll give you a shout out on Radio Today. I think that's the least we can do.
That's very kind of you. Very kind of you. And of course, it's weird times at the moment. You said there's radio stations today full of people. Well, of course, they're not full of people, because many of them are operating with people working from home, either broadcasting from home or, you know, all the office staff being from home. So it's a weird time anyway. It's an uncertain time for a lot of people financially. And the news like this doesn't help. And then obviously you don't get it in person either. You get it via a video link.
Yeah, that's another bummer about today, is that it's not even a staff meeting where you're all together in a room watching a person in front of you. You're all just basically still at home wondering what's going on, watching a video of somebody tell you that you might not have a job in the coming months. It's not good. So do get in touch if we can help.
Yeah, and there are lots of stories out there, as you say, as well, of people who've been through this, got out the other end, either retrained, found something else to do. Obviously, that wasn't in a global pandemic, so the situation from a couple of years ago might be a little bit different. But do ask for help. You know, share your story, share your circumstances on your socials, among your friends and your colleague groups. There will be other people who've been through similar and will be able to tell you that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's worth sticking at it. A few other things going on this week, not a lot, but some changes at Classic FM.
That's right. John Suchet, who feels like he's been on Classic FM mid-mornings for a decade. He's moving to evenings. Alexander Armstrong is taking over the mid-morning show, which seems a bit pointless to me. I don't know about you. The BBC annual plan as well. What does it say about radio? David Lloyd was blogging about it. He kindly let us reblog it for him. It's quite a good read, quite a long read, but worth it. And Ofcom's been on the phone. They want to remind you all about your obligations during COVID-19 as well. All that and more on radiotoday.co.uk.
That's making sure you're logging and, you know, doing things properly, I guess.
It just, yeah, and a bit of a helping hand saying if you're having trouble paying your fee to broadcast, then get in touch and we may be able to work out a bit of a deal. That's what they're saying.
Excellent. Right. Have a lovely couple of weeks, Roy, because it's Roundtable Week next week, so you won't be on. You can have the week off.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Yeah, hopefully next week we'll have more time to digest all this Bauer news from today and the Roundtable with Trevor. Hopefully that'll be a big point of discussion on the podcast next week.
Absolutely. David Lloyd is coming up to take us back in time shortly. First, a reminder about Clean Feed, which is great in these lockdown days for doing your show from home or getting a guest onto your podcast from their home. Check out cleanfeed.net to find out all about it. It's designed for radio people and for podcasters. Really simple to use, live audio connection, just using your browser, great quality, and you can even record it as well. It won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take you 30 seconds or so to sign up, and you'll be cracking on doing your show from home, getting a guest onto your podcast or your radio show from a remote location within minutes. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. Radio.
A few weeks ago, we had an unprecedented announcement on The Archers.
And that's where we leave Ambridge, as it was before coronavirus. Until we're able to return something a bit different. Treats from the Ambridge archive over the last 20 years. And what better way to start...
The foundations for that series began 70 years ago this week with a pilot series aired just in the Midlands on the BBC Home Service.
I wasn't very happy about the kind of programmes I was doing on farming. I was the farming producer. I felt that the only people who could understand them were the people who knew anyway. And the people who ought to be hearing about this couldn't understand they were too technical.
What was it you wanted, my love?
And he thought it would be a good idea if he called a conference in Birmingham of all farming folk from all over the region, which he did. Pretty high-powered conference, and at the end of it, in fact, it broke up the conference with a laughter of it. So this farmer from Lincolnshire, a man called Henry Burt, said, what we need is a farming Dick Barton.
Well, in a manner of speaking, ah.
What he had in mind, of course, was that the dangers and the risks in farming were just as great as the cliffhangers of Dick Barton.
That pilot was well received, and The Archers proper began 6 months later across the UK. Coventry got commercial radio this week 40 years ago. It began with Ian Rufus borrowing the phrase Dickie Attenborough had used in launching Capital 7 years before.
For the very first time, good morning from Mercia Sound.
Mercia.
I'm sort of making this announcement. For the very first time in Coventry and Warwickshire, Mercia Sound. I thought, nobody speaks like that on the radio anymore. But it seemed absolutely right at the time. And we got a lot of feedback. And then we came to the first Jigra, as it then was. And the results came in.
Mercia News, this is Mike Henfield. A new row over Warwickshire mining plants.
And John Bradford called me into his office and I thought, oh dear, this is going to be bad news. And he said, have a guess what the weekly reach is. I said, I don't know, 25%, 30%? Which would have been great, I mean, in those days. He said, 54% weekly reach.
Yes, this is it. This is Mercia Sound, your own local radio station, and you're welcome to it. Dan Hartman, kicking off Mercia Sound.
Ian Rufus reflecting on the launch of Mercia Sound in Coventry this week in 1980. 15 years ago this week, Jazz FM closed in London, ready to become Smooth.
Covent Garden, Hyde Park, Deleuze, Westminster, Tower Hill, Pimlico, Finchley, London Bridge, Hendon, Highgate, Needlevale, Ealing, Hammersmith, Richmond, Wimbledon, Brixton, Houston, Bromley, Dulwich,
Smooth prepared to take the place of jazz in London this week in 2005, but of course the jazz brand was to return, and it's recently celebrated its 30th anniversary. The Radio 1 Breakfast Show remains one of the top offices of state in UK radio, and this week in 1988, Simon Mayo was installed.
Climb your Fisher, and this is me. It's taken me 5 weeks to get used to waking up early. That's what I've been doing all this time. 8 minutes past seven. You may well have read that there is going to be a team looking after you, getting you up for breakfast every morning. I'll introduce you to the various members of the team as they crop up. The first one is here. Her name is Carol Dooley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Taking care of the travel and weather. Where do you come from?
That's right. I come from the Emerald Isle. Kilkenny, actually.
And your life history in 10 seconds.
My life history in 10
seconds. I mean, looking
seconds,
back on it now, I think that it was the most underproduced, under-researched breakfast show Radio 1 can ever have launched. I think because there'd been a management split over this, when I went on air, there'd been no promotion at all. So the only jingles and the only promos were the ones that I'd made myself. It was, you know, it was all right. Johnny had decided that he wanted the Zoo format. And I was happy to go with that. I was happy to do the gig, you know. So we started the show. So it was Rod, me and Carol. And it was clear that Carol wasn't, you know, exactly who they wanted. And so they, you know, they started making changes. And then Sybil Roscoe and then Diane Oxbury. May she rest in peace. And Jackie Brambles, all came, they're all part of that kind of breakfast vibe. But it was head spinning times because the Radio 1 Breakfast Show was still the biggest show in Europe.
Simon Mayo reflecting on Radio 1 Breakfast, which he began 32 years ago. Few programmes credit their creator decades later. Desert Island Discs does. He was Roy Plumley, and he died this week 35 years ago.
It was a cold November night in 1941. I was living in Diggs in a Hertfordshire village. My coal fire had gone out. I was already in my pyjamas. What I needed was an idea strong enough for a series of six programmes. I was just about to get into bed, and then I had the inspiration. Normally, I'd have been inclined to leave it to the morning, by which time I'd probably forgotten about it. But I felt impelled to go straight to my typewriter.
Roy Plumley. Now, ever recorded a great opening to your show, only then to play out the wrong version?
And that's news at 2 minutes past five.
Tony Blackburn.
And hello there. I heard that you're having a really lovely bank holiday weekend, and welcome to listeners on VHF who have just joined us here on Radio 1 for the Top 40 and for the rest of the evening, I hope. You can hear the nation's top chart show right now in Super Stereo.
Tony Blackburn.
And hello there. I hope that you're having a really lovely bank holiday, and welcome to listeners on VHF who have just joined us here on Radio 1 for the 32 last week, this week, number 40, new music, This World of Water. I do apologise for the start of the programme. It sounded as though the programme was taped or something, didn't it? And I do assure you I'm here live in the studio, and to prove it, the weather is slightly dull. It was just a slight technical problem we had at the start, which I hope won't last for the next 2 hours. These things happen now and then. Most embarrassing.
That awful feeling in the pit of your stomach when it's too late to do anything about it. And the first take sounded okay anyway, didn't it? So with Katie Hopkins leaving LBC 3 years ago...
I judge people on their actions.
Silk FM launched in Macclesfield 22 years ago.
Silk FM will start a full programme service from Bank Holiday Monday, the 25th of May.
Allegations of the Sexed Up dossier 17 years ago.
Downing Street, our source says, ordered a week before publication, ordered it to be sexed up, to be made more exciting.
Screaming Lord Such setting up his own pirate radio station 56 years ago.
If you'd like a request on Radio Such, then write to Radio Such, King's Agency, number 7, Denmark Street, London, WC2. And here we go now with a gay little girl, she's only 15, a great little cutie, and it's Millie with the Mad Boy Lollipop.
Laser 558, launching 36 years ago.
And that's what's happening. I'm David Lee Stone, and now more hit music with Mr. Rick Harris on Laser 558, where you're never more than a minute away from music.
And Dave Lee Travis, 75 this week.
Quack, quack, oops.
Those are this week's radio moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd and Roy Martin and my guest Graham Bryce from Bauer. Next week on the Radio Today programme, probably more reaction to this week's big news, as well as a wider look at the industry issues and some listening recommendations for your ears as well. Trevor Dan returns for our virtual roundtable discussion for June. Join us for that next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. We'll
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mick Hazard.